Welcome to the Monster Club, an honest look at horror movies from lifelong horror fans. Fair warning, you may not have seen this movie. We have spoilers, ho! I am Jethel.
I'm Tuck. Why don't we talk about our recent movie-going experience with another
movie. It's been several weeks since we put anything out. Of course, the holiday season was upon us, among other things, and sickness and stuff like that. So, I understand you went to go see a small independent movie that's not doing too well in the movie theaters right now.
Yeah, it's a science fiction opera thing. You might have heard of it.
What is this? Hold on a second. So
I went to go see Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Yes.
Me and my buddy and his kid who was visiting for Christmas. And I planned it all out ahead of time. I bought the tickets online, and we went to our favorite movie theater. I mean, the online ticketing, online ticket sales thing is so good. You could even select which seats you want.
In certain theaters, none of the ones around here will allow for seating. So
yeah, well, the one near us does, and I was so happy at this. So I selected the perfect seats and everything, paid for them ahead of time. We went out to go see it.
All right.
And we were just in time to get to the movie as the previews were starting.
Except that's a mistake right there. I never show up any later than a half an hour before a movie starts. And in case of Star Wars, I showed up an hour and a half early.
Well, we figured, you know, we had reserved seats. There wasn't going to be a seating problem.
All right. Well, continue on.
We really weren't feeling, you know, I wanted to get soda and popcorn.
Right.
And I figured, okay, you know, previews are just starting. So I am like you. If I'm driving, I try to get there, you know, at least 20, 30 minutes ahead of time. So I have time to, you know, pick out what I want to eat and get my popcorn and my soda and everything.
But hey, previews are just starting, so you know you got at least an hour and a half. Good God, what's going on with these trailers lately?
At least 10 or 15 minutes. So we get there, and there's like this huge line for the kiosk. You know, the little automated teller machine kiosk where you get your tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, crap, why don't we go inside and see if they can print us out at the back desk behind the box office. No one was there, and so we stood back in line for the kiosk, and we finally got our tickets after everyone stopped, you know, took up so much time futzing with the machine, you know, because no one knows how to use that thing, you know. It seems like every time I order tickets that way, everyone who's in front of me in line, that's their first time using anything with a touch screen.
Geez.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, so we finally get our tickets. Well, no, we don't get our tickets.
Hmm?
Something else goes funky. Somebody says, no, you can get your tickets inside, you know, and so several people step out of line. We go inside, and I give my paper that I printed out at home to the ticket guy so he can print them out.
Yep.
He looks at it, and he scratches his head for a second. He turns it this way, turns it that way, looks at the second sheet, looks at the first sheet again, and goes, this isn't for this theater.
Oh, no.
Same movie time. Same exact you can pick your seats feature.
Oh, no. Wrong theater.
But for some reason, I had bought from the wrong theater. Now, I'm no newbie to buying things online. But for some reason, I just totally flubbed this. So my friend goes, well, let me see the paper. And he looks at it. He goes, this theater is like 7 minutes from here. Let's go. And so we hop back into the car and drive over to what turns out to be an Alamo theater. You're not familiar with these. Alamo theaters are these neat little theaters where they took out every other row of seats and they replaced them with little tables.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
Like, you can order like a beer and nachos.
We have something like that around here. It's called a Cinnabar.
Yeah,
I haven't been to it, but I've heard about it.
It's good if you want to just relax, have some snacks, or a meal of middling quality, and you know, you know, some suds and watch a movie that you maybe you've seen already, you know. The really great thing about it is little kids aren't allowed at all.
Ooh,
because
nice.
They serve alcohol. They have an alcohol license, so you can't have kids under a certain age there.
I like it.
So we go in, and they have this policy because they have all these tables and everything, and they try not, you know, there's not a lot of room for people to get up and get back in their seats. And so most people just sit in the theater for the duration of the movie. But they don't want to disturb anybody. It's already sitting. So if you arrive any less than 5 minutes before the movie starts, then there's a good possibility that you will be refused.
Ooh.
You will be they will decline to seat you. But we got there just as the previews were ending. We stood in the dark kind of trying to figure out where our seats were. And then finally someone came and helped us, and we finally got into our seats as the title scroll was going up. You know, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
the story thing. Unfortunately, now to give you context about how awful this was, the theater that we were intending to go to was an AMC theater where they had recently upgraded all the seats.
Right.
Every seat was a Easy Boy.
Ooh.
A padded leather, really luxurious with cup holders, Easy Boy. Every
nice.
Single seat. This was primo, super duper quality movie theater. And I was so looking forward to that because as an individual of considerable size, I know you're familiar with what this is like. You go into a theater, it's maybe a little bit older, and you got to swing up at least one of those arms if they swing up.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the seats in the Alamo Theater were quite a bit older.
Uh-oh.
And there wasn't sufficient room between the seats in front and the tables, so I kind of had to scoot sideways, and I was bumping seats.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, it was terrible. So we finally got into our seats, squeezed into mine, and you know, and I was out of breath, and my heart was pounding because we were rushing, and
right.
I was just so embarrassed to be, like, blocking everybody, you know, when I was trying to get into my seat and everything. And I didn't even get a chance to read the title scroll, you know, before I finally found my 3D glasses and put them on.
What? You didn't get to read the title scroll? Well, you missed major plot points.
Yeah, right.
like stuff. Anyway.
Story's pretty simple. Bad guys are doing bad things, and the good people are doing good things. Let's see what the good people are.
It's fucking
Star Wars. So 20 minutes in, the worst thing that could possibly happen happened.
The girl in the balcony above you peed.
No, my bladder decided to fill.
No!
And for the rest of the movie, I was in excruciating pain, but I didn't want to leave because I'd missed the movie and it would be such a struggle to get past all those freaking seats to my left. And
that's why I hit the bathroom right before I go into any
theater. Oh, we didn't have time. And the worst thing is that I finally couldn't stand it. And I just struggled through it. And I, excuse me. And I got my way out and I said, okay. Finally, you know, went to the bathroom, much relief. Came back and said, okay, I'll just stand against the wall, watch the rest of the film from the wall.
And you came back just in time to see Han Solo falling off the edge.
As I lean against the wall to just, you know, stay out of the way and watch the rest of the movie, because I was so sure by that point there was only a couple of minutes left, I realized I'd left my 3D glasses
on
my seat. So there was that. So I struggle struggle to squeeze back into my seat, scooting past all those people. And then the film had 8 minutes left. 8 minutes.
Everyone behind you is like, come on!
Pretty much. I heard a lot of disgruntled, oh, God, you know. And there was only a couple of minutes left. And I was like, well, shit, I could have waited. But it was just so freaking bad. So me and my friend, we said, we're going to go see it properly. again soon.
And don't pay the extra for the 3D. The 3D wasn't that impressive.
Yeah, it really wasn't. I think it kind of ruins films for me, you know. But I wanted to see it in 3D because I thought surely they're going to do a. I mean, it was okay, but it wasn't. You know,
I saw it both ways. I saw it once in 2D, once in 3D, and it wasn't worth the extra $3.
Yeah. So yeah, we're gonna go see it properly in that nice theater with the nice chairs in 2D. Nice. Hopefully the 2D will still be available when we decide to go see it again.
Now here's what you got to do: see if they take Fandango for online ordering. You probably won't be able to choose your seating.
Oh no, that's how I did it.
Oh, you did? Okay, I was gonna say because Fandango will allow you to cancel the sale if you miss the show.
Well, they will if you. Within a certain number of minutes of the beginning of the show, but since it's reserved seating, you know, movie had already started, it was because then you've deprived somebody else of those seats, so they're going to take your ticket money. So that was not the ideal experience, and I have to say, I probably missed a lot of stuff in the movie because I was in such discomfort about the film.
If we lived closer, I'd take you. But it's kind of hard. We're like 1500 miles away.
Yeah, come on, drive down, man.
Oh yeah, just an afternoon jaunt, no problem.
We need to get those teleporters going, damn it.
I know, this is... right?
Okay, so what was your experience like? You said you didn't like the 3D.
Much better than yours,
everybody's experience was better. I mean, there's not a whole lot you could do to make mine worse than it was.
I will say that I completely appreciated the fact that enough people really wanted to see this movie where they shut the fuck up.
Yes.
It was silent in the theater, and I appreciated that so much. I was so worried, you know.
Parts where you're supposed to.
Liz and I got there, like... You know, they let us in like 45 minutes before the movie.
Mm-hmm.
We get there. I got the perfect fucking seats. I mean, I can judge.
Sweet spot seats, yeah.
Right. I mean, I can judge from my peripheral vision, the rims of my glasses, where the center of the screen is.
Yeah.
And that's where I sit.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to the movie theater ahead of time so I can sit there. So I was like the 10th person in line when we to get in. Mm-hmm. I rushed up because Liz has a cane. She has hip problems, so she lets me rush ahead and get the seats we want first, which is great. And we got there. I put my stuff down. I help her to her seat, blah, blah, blah. And I'm carrying the concession stuff too. But
we sit down. Surely you go back for that after you... secure the
I don't seat. Trust anyone to not take my seat. So anyway, so
she's sitting there.
So we're sitting there, and then people start straggling in. Like, you know, we did a morning matinee, so I wasn't expecting it to be full.
Okay.
I did it a Monday morning. It's like, people are at work. I'm not concerned about this being a full house. And then 5 minutes before the fucking movie starts, everyone starts piling in. I'm like, really, guys?
At least you got
I'm sitting here. I'm relaxed. I'm trying to
enjoy the slideshow of local businesses.
Yeah, I'm trying to get myself situated, and everyone's just piling in. I mean, it was just a wave of people. It wasn't full by by any stretch of the means, but still, it's like, really, you show up 5 minutes before the fucking movie starts, and everyone's looking at my seat, and everyone's complaining that they're off to the side and stuff like that. And I just lean over to Liz, and I'm just like, you know, this is why I show up a half an hour before a movie. If they're complaining about their seats, maybe not show up 5 minutes ahead of time. You know what I mean? Oh, God. But anyway, yeah, as soon as the Star Wars, whatever, everyone shut the fuck up, and we watched the movie. And I think there was like one person who was like had their cell phone out, and I threw some popcorn at them.
Nice.
Just a little handful. I waited for a dark scene in space or something like that, and just whipped a little popcorn at them.
Nice.
I really wish sometimes we have the ability to point our cell phones at someone and instantly send them a message. You know what I mean?
That would be fun, yeah.
In some situations, that would be really fun, but it would be, you know, harassment and shit like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, being able to point my cell phone at someone, shut off your fucking phone.
Of course, that would be kind of hypocritical.
Yeah, true.
Seeing as how you had to use your phone to, yeah.
You know,
I don't even like it when people have their phones on vibrate and then check them during the theater.
Oh,
those,
yeah.
Those
turn
freaking
off that fucking light, man.
Jeez, it's like a freaking, everyone has their brightness turned up to full, and they wonder why their batteries don't last.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? But yeah, we had a good time. It was a good experience.
Good, good.
I told Liz on the way out, like, you know, I should really just yell out, oh my God, Chewbacca gets swallowed by the Sarnak!
Sarnak?
Yeah, Sarlacc. The Sarlacc pit from...
No, it's funnier if you mispronounce it.
That would be so fucking funny. It's just a false spoiler like we did in our last little bit a couple of weeks ago. Oh my God, Chewbacca punches Palpatine in the nuts. But, you know, you gotta make it sound realistic, though, so people are like, oh, come on!
Right.
It's like, you know, if George Lucas did this thing, Luke Skywalker wouldn't have done that backflip off the ledge to catch his lightsaber as being thrown by C-3PO with his new cybernetic red arm. By the way, okay, we're going to go into a little Star Wars thing.
Okay.
We're going to go into a little Star Wars thing, and if I have to, I'll just break it up. You know, it's like, this is our thoughts on Star Wars, and then our actual movie.
Right.
What the fuck was with the red arm? It's not explained. He makes a point to point it out. Oh, Han Solo, perhaps you recognize me. I am C-3PO. Maybe you didn't recognize me with my red arm. And then nothing else is said about it.
C-3PO has always been a kind of a prissy robot. I would think he would be self-conscious about a mismatched arm. And the mismatched arm is the only way to show that time has passed for him.
But in the next scene he's in, it's fixed!
Nah.
Yes.
He always has the red arm.
No. Toward the end of the movie, he has a regular arm again. It's just like, what happened? Why did he have the red arm?
I didn't notice it.
See what happens when you go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
No, his arm was fixed by the end of the movie. And it's like, well, he doesn't have a red arm anymore. What was with the red arm? Was it magic?
I'll tell you what the red arm was for.
What was it for? Okay. A red herring?
Merchandising. Ooh. You can't sell a C-3PO version of The Force Awakens.
We can't keep selling,
you know what
the
I mean?
C-3PO.
Force Awakens versions of C-3PO without a freaking red arm. He has to be slightly different.
I get your point. I get it.
He has
it.
To. And Star Wars has always been about merchandising. That's the brilliance of it.
Oh,
you can merchandise every single little background character. It doesn't matter how obscure.
Oh, you know, except for Rey, apparently, who didn't show up in any of the box sets.
What the hell? Why? That pisses me off. First,
she's the main character of the fucking movie.
You're going to edit out all these uhs, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on a sec. It's coming to me. Just help me remind me. Who's the female character in the Avengers movies?
Black Widow.
Okay. So it's just like with Black Widow and the Avengers merchandise. She was just missing. There were all these hilarious photos of these like little girls holding up, you know, boxes of the Avengers superheroes. And they're like, where is Black Widow? She's just gone. And there was this scene in one of the movies where Black Widow drops out of like a helicopter or a halo carrier or something on a motorcycle with, you know, it's shooting guns and everything. And she's like so freaking badass. The toy version of that features Captain America. Black Widow's nowhere to be found. So, yeah, I do think there's this tendency in the toy industry to...
Action figures are for boys. They don't want to see Black Widow.
And you know what?
Make that,
yes, they make that, do. Apparently.
Make that outfit removable and they'll want it.
Not even, just show a decent amount of curvature, cleavage or something. But maybe that's what they're worried about. They're worried about a character that is being, but Rey wasn't sexualized at all. Not at all. You know? And
if nothing else, Finn was the woman. And what fuck happened to Captain Phasma? She looks so badass.
She'll be prominent in future movies, I promise you. I would not be surprised if she got her own spinoff. You know, Boba Fett barely had any lines in the classic trilogy, barely anything. But he's still one of the most badass characters from those films. So give it a little bit, but look to see, you know, Captain Phasma get kind of a Boba Fett kind of reputation is.
But the problem is she had a Boba Fett reputation before the movie came out.
Yeah.
All of the trailers featured her. Mm-hmm. She was made out to be the big badass of the whole fucking movie, and she barely had 5 lines of dialogue.
If that.
And 5 minutes of footage.
Yeah. So I that was a little disappointing, but I think they've just, this first movie, they're laying groundwork. They're laying backstory, you know, for this new run of movies.
And where is she now? She's in a trash compactor.
Which is funny. You gotta admit, that's funny.
It is.
I bet you the whole reason Finn is from sanitation is for that joke.
Probably, yeah.
That's the whole reason for it.
Of course, the biggest complaint of the Star Wars movie is the same complaint every reviewer that I've heard on podcasts or read is saying, and that's it follows the New Hope.
It does echo a lot of familiar story points.
Way too much.
On
my review at Cinema Unrest, let me bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it? Where the fuck is it? Oh, come on now. There it is. Whoop, nope. That's our fake spoiler thing.
You know, I just realized that the title of this movie is just wide open for a new Spaceballs parody.
Oh, yeah.
They should call it Spaceballs, The Farce Awakens.
There you go.
Okay, so
this is my timeline. My timeline description. Young person on a desert planet finds himself in cahoots with the rebellion and is strong with the Force. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Desert planet. Mm-hmm. Couldn't be a regular old Earth-like planet or a swamp, could it? Discord between father and son. A ruler who seduces a powerful young Jedi to the dark side. Mm-hmm. New Sith betrays their teacher and kills all the Padawans. Top Sith wears a mask.
Where does that match up? New Sith.
Well, that would be with Episode 3.
Okay.
Well, the whole thing with Kylo Ren killing all of Luke's Padawans
echoes
Anakin Skywalker's turn to the dark side. Mm-hmm. Let's see here.
Wears
a mask. Older mentor-like character killed in dramatic fashion, and another larger Death Star to destroy. There's just way too many similarities with the past movies. This was not an original story. This was a we know this works. Let's reboot the series with these common themes.
Oh, please don't use that word. Don't use that word.
What's that?
Reboot. Reboot is only for when
revive.
Okay, continue. I like to use the word. It's a continuation of the original stories.
And now the continuing story of a Jedi who's gone to the dogs.
I get what you're saying, but I would argue that all the archetypal stories have been told, that you will never be able to tell a story that does not have some similarities with the previous story. And I think that they kind of had to do this to, you know, rope in the feel of the first movie, but shuffle the cards a bit as to who is playing what roles. And I think this is something that we find that is true in life. You know, where a son grows up with a certain relationship with his father. And then when he's, you know, older and has a son of his own, he suddenly finds echoes of those childhood memories reoccurring between him and his own son. He's like, oh, I'm the father now. Now look at this. I see the other side of it now. And the same things are happening here. Mm-hmm. You know, so this is the kind of thing that happens in life. And I think it's still a good story. Is it a good story? That's what I keep coming back to. Is it a good story? Is it entertaining? Absolutely.
It was good. It was entertaining. I wish it would have been more unique.
Yeah.
More original. I think that's what everyone... I think that's the only real complaint with the movie, is that it wasn't really an original story. It was a retelling of the old story.
It was a reshuffling of the tropes of the original story.
Now let's talk about spoiled brat Kylo Ren and his temper tantrums. What the fuck? I'm here thinking, yes, Kylo's going to be this great, freaking this powerful new Sith and stuff like that. He's throwing a temper tantrum. What is he, 12?
I have seen some great, like little GIFs and little memes and stuff that center around Kylo Ren being like a spoiled, you know.
I'm going to be completely honest. I hope he died. We don't know the fate of our primary characters, with the exception, you know, of our primary bad guys, I should say, because we don't know who got off the planet because the order was given to evacuate. But I hope he didn't make it. I really do, because
sure he did.
We had one emo character in Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, but the difference is the guy playing Kylo Ren, he could act. That's the difference.
Yes, but I don't need another whiny Sith. It's just, he's all like, I'm dark and brooding and rah, 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 rah. What? Something didn't go my way? And he starts slicing up whatever the hell's in front of him.
Mm.
That's all I heard. But the first time around, I was like, oh, this is so fucking cool. And I fanboyed out. The second time around, I started getting critical about it. I started critiquing it. It's like, I really wish I could force choke this bastard.
I would argue that he's not nearly as frustrating and annoying to watch as Anakin was.
Well, at least he can act better than...
what's his name? Right.
as either one of the people that did...
right.
Let's face it. That little shit from the first one and the older one from the other two could not act to save their fucking lives.
I think they just had a bad director. A bad director. And I'll say it. You know what? Lucas lost his way.
He
had a lot of people helping him on the first movie.
Then other directors took over
and the second and third movies, you know, were except for the Ewoks. Okay, that's debatable. But they were still fantastic films. But they didn't suffer from one director getting stuck in his ways and everyone, you know, performing the role of yes men for him and not disagreeing with them. You know, he really needed to have opposing points of view and not everyone just saying, okay, everybody just do as George says. And I think that's what went wrong with the first three films. You cannot have the same director doing three films with no one telling him, you know what? That's probably
everybody surrounded himself with was just fanboying out, like, we're doing a Star Wars movie. It's George Lucas directing. Nothing can possibly go wrong. Oh,
yes.
Hell, the great Lucas!
Ah, boy.
Good morning, Mr. Lucas. Here's your coffee. Can I lick your boot for you?
Yes, pretty much. And I think that was the problem. He you know, I think the two actors, I don't think the kid from the first film could have done any better.
Jake Lloyd, damn you.
I think he definitely should not have been in the movie. He did not have the feel. He had a look, and that's what George fell in love with.
Well, don't tell me George Lucas fell in love with that young boy. That's wrong.
You know what I'm talking about. But he you know, he really liked the look of the kid for the role. And that was a mistake, not picking somebody who could act. In fact, if you watch some of the, what do you call it, the audition footage for the first, you know, for episode one, they have these two boys that are auditioning for the role. And you can hear George and his main executive producer guy, I can't remember his name.
Who fucking cares?
Talking about, you know, debating about which of these kids, you know, George is like, well, I really like this guy. And he's pointing out Jake Lloyd. And the other guy, the executive producer guy, he's like, well, I don't know, this other kid, he can really act. He goes, nah, I really like the look of this kid. And literally said that. And that's, and
this
that's
is Star right Wars, not a porno. You don't go for looks.
Exactly. You know, I mean, if the actor is good enough, they will look right for the part, yeah. You know, and it's not as if it was a predefined look that everyone, you know, is carefully described in books that have been beloved since everyone's childhoods or anything. You know, it's not like they had a could have looked like anybody pretty much, you know? And as for the other guy, what's his name?
Oh God. I've been trying to put him out of my head so much. I forget.
Who cares? That guy. The whiny teenager.
Hayden Christensen.
Yes.
You know, he said in a recent interview, he stopped acting because Star Wars gave him such a bad name. No, you can't act. You've been in other things.
I think he can act.
No, I've seen his other movies.
Oh, really?
He sucks. Oh, my God, he's a horrible actor. I'm sorry.
He failed to, I don't know. There are some times when I think, okay, that was pretty good. You know, some scenes. But I don't know. I think it takes a special director to pull out the best in an actor. And he's never had the fortune to be paired with a director that could pull a good performance out of him so that he knew the difference between good acting and bad acting. I don't know. I've heard and read that good acting is... The secret to good acting is not acting at all. It's becoming the part and really getting into the mind and emotions of your character. So you're actually feeling what they're supposed to be feeling, you know, and then just speak genuinely, you know, but, yeah. He was not capable of doing that. And he did not have a director capable of bringing out that from him. The other actors seem to be okay. Maybe that does point to a severe deficit in his acting ability. Because there were plenty of other actors who did.
Putting him with Samuel L. Jackson, Liam Neeson, you know, really good actors just really drove home how bad of an actor he was. Or inexperienced, I guess we can say. Welcome to the Monster Club.